Welcome to Table Talk. Pull up a chair and have a seat as Pastor Brent Kuhlman and myself, Pastor Scott Porath, continue to dare to be Lutheran. Folks, we're coming up in the church's calendar with All Saints Day.
Right. November 1st, it is.
Yes.
So by the time people hear this, it'll already be passed, probably, no doubt.
Yeah. Right. And I think a lot of congregations probably transfer it to the closest Sunday. Our congregation, we celebrate Reformation the last Sunday in October, if you will.
Yeah.
And then the next Sunday, All Saints Day.
Right, right. Yeah, and what a Reformation text it is, you know, in John 8, you know, with Jesus having the gall to call people sinners. Imagine that in the church. And now here we're going to talk about All Saints. Sinners and Saints.
Sinners and Saints. That's a good title right there, Brent. We're always looking for titles. You know, some people might be wondering, what's All Saints? What's that? You know, kind of unfamiliar language to them.
Hmm.
How about we just jump into the Word of God and one of the appointed texts for this day in the church's calendar. Folks, we're going to go to Revelation chapter 7. In Revelation chapter 7, which I always find this interesting, Brent, that what precedes this?
Oh, yeah, it's huge.
You know, the 144,000 that have been sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel, and then it goes on, you know, 12,000 from the tribe of Judah, 12,000 from Reuben and Gad and so forth. And then when you jump into this, the appointed text, the very next verse in verse 9, we hear this. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number.
Yeah, you see, 144,000. Sorry, Jehovah's Witnesses, it isn't a little literal number.
you know, we just had a spreadsheet prior here with 12,000 and all the tribes, and you add them up, and 144,000. But now John talks about it as a multitude, a great multitude that no one could count.
Mm-hmm. From everywhere. Yep. Every nation, tribe, people, and language.
So not just limited to the, if you will, the 12 tribes of Israel.
That's right.
It's Jews and Gentiles. This is the entire, well, these are all the saints. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, this is the make disciples of all nations crowd.
Okay.
Yeah, heaven is going to be, it's going to be a lot more people there than you think. Very interesting how this works. You know, everybody thinks there's going to be hardly anybody there. I'll be there with just a few of my friends.
You just get in by the skin of your teeth kind of mentality.
Well, Jesus died for all, and there are many people. I mean, the Word of God has borne a lot of fruit in the course of history. In fact, the entire history of the world is the history of the Word of God. I mean, that's a whole nother study, too, right there. But yeah, and so we see the fruit of the Word of God's preaching for generations here. And these are the people, by the way, as the end of chapter 6 asks, you know, the wrath of the Lamb and the one who sits on the throne has come, and on this day who can stand? And, of course, chapter 7 is giving us the answer, and these people are the ones who will be able to stand on Judgment Day and who will not be consumed in the wrath of God.
Mm-hmm.
All these believers.
So you have this great multitude, no one can number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Brent, when I read that, it sounds to me like the Palm Sunday crowd. Here you have these multitudes, you know, Palm Sunday when Jesus enters into Jerusalem in order that he might be offered up as the sacrifice of atonement, that he might be crucified on Calvary. And you have the crowds that follow him and the crowds that come out to meet him. And what do they shout? Hosanna,
yeah.
Save us now. And so you have this very similar language with these saints with palm branches in their hands, and they're saying salvation, a Hosanna-type word.
Except this crowd here in Revelation 7 doesn't change its mind and then say a few days later, crucify him. You know, these guys, they know, and they believe, and they trust that the Lamb who's been slain, this is where our salvation comes from. Thus, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. And, of course, that's the Lamb who's been slain, and yet lives.
I was going to say, I didn't know if you were going to allude to this earlier. The Lamb who has been slain from the foundations of the world. Okay, this was always God's plan. This was always the means of salvation. And so we have this throughout the entire Old Testament with the Passover lamb. It was God constantly tutoring his people that a sacrifice would be provided for them. To Abraham and Isaac, on this mountain the Lord will provide, and Isaac is spared, and the ram in the thicket loses its life. And then you come to John the Baptist, and what's one of the things that he proclaims to all of those people coming out to him to be baptized? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he takes it away by shedding his blood.
That's right. And so his blood is what makes us holy. As John, the blessed apostle, says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And so we're actually purified and cleansed and holied by the blood of Jesus. And so, you know, this crowd who wear white robes, you know, they've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, it says in verse 14. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And that's the key. The detergent that makes us holy is the blood of Jesus. So, you know, on All Saints Day or All Saints Sunday, saints are holy ones. In other words, those who've been died for, who've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And that's the key here. So who's a saint? Are you died for? Do you believe it? You're a saint. You're a holy one.
I don't know, Brent, if you have come across folks like this, but, you know, I sometimes have members of the congregation that really struggle with this, in that, and not just on All Saints Day, but year-round. Saint, I can't be a saint. Are you sure these promises are for me, Pastor?
Well, that's
yeah. I can see it applies to everybody else, but you know, if you really knew me and knew my life, see, this idea that those who are washed in the blood of the Lamb are saints, that's what needs to be preached into their ears, because we come up with our own definitions of saints, don't we?
Yeah, that's right. We have to do something. We have to earn it by what we do or by what we don't do, and of course the super works. You know, got gold stars in Sunday school and got confirmed, and by God, I gave $10,000 to the church last year or whatever it may be. That's irrelevant. What makes you a saint is what Christ has done for you,
mm-hmm.
and what he's given you. I mean, this blessed exchange that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 5, that he took our sins and he was damned in them, and then in exchange he gives us his righteousness, which is to say God gives us his Son and everything that belongs to him, all of his perfection and holiness and righteousness. That's the fact. And faith is just given to believe it. That's all. I must say that truly is a fact. And we've talked about this many times on the show. You know, and until we actually physically die and are buried 6 feet under, we have the old Adam still hanging around our necks. And so, as Paul describes in Romans 7, we want to do the right thing and we don't. And the bad things we don't want to do, we end up doing. But who can rescue me? Well, it's Jesus, of course. So the Christian is at the same time one who's been redeemed, justified, sanctified by the blood of Jesus. And at the same time, the Christian is also a sinner. But the fact of the matter is that you truly are a saint for Christ's sake. And that's how God views you. You know, you have special status before God because of Jesus. You know, in the Bible, the angels are called God's holy ones,
mm-hmm.
and they have special status before God. Namely, you know, they have complete and total access to God.
Before his face, night and day.
Yeah, that's right. Matthew 18 talks about that, if I remember correctly, when Jesus talks about these holy ones, these angels who keep watch over these little ones, the little ones, the believers.
Mm-hmm.
So the believers are also called holy ones in the New Testament. So we have the same status, if you will, as the angels, those holy ones, because we are holy ones for Christ's sake. So it's all gift. Our holiness is total gift. It's not anything we achieve. It's all Christ, and it's given to us.
Thus, the Apostle Paul, for instance, when he writes to the Christians in Ephesus, addresses them as saints. Or if he writes to the Christians in Galatia and other places, he refers to them as saints. He's talking not to the special class of super Christians. He's talking to those who are baptized into Christ.
Yeah, and they weren't super Christians. I mean, they you take a look at them and you'd say, my word, are these people even Christian at all?
The saints in Corinth.
Yeah, are you kidding me? Same way with me.
I was going to say, they look really familiar.
Yeah. So like everybody's back to Revelation 7, then everybody's standing around the throne and they fall down and they praise God and say, amen, praise, glory, wisdom, thanks, honor. I think there's a sevenfold list here, isn't there? Praise, glory, wisdom, thanks, honor, power, strength, be to our God forever and ever, amen. Was there seven there?
I wasn't
counting. One, two, three, four, five, six. Yeah, seven, the perfect worship here. And then one of the elders in verse 13 asked me, these in white robes, who in the world are they? I mean, good grief, who are these people? Where'd they come from?
Who invited them? How'd they get in here?
Yeah, no kidding. I don't remember inviting them.
Yeah.
The answer is, well, you know. And then he says, well, they've come out of the great tribulation, and they've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And it's because of that. Then you have the therefore. Because of that, then, they stand before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. And he spreads his tent over them, the Lord does. And then you have the more description of they're never going to hunger again, they're not going to be thirsty ever again, etc. Because they're in the saving presence of the Lord. So those of you who have lost loved ones and friends who believe in Jesus, these people are saints. And where are they? They're in heaven. This is what All Saints Day is all about. It's to comfort us and reassure us and strengthen our faith that these people who died believing in the promises of Jesus, they're with the Lord, and they're waiting for the resurrection day. They have come out of the great tribulation, meaning this life in which you have three evil enemies, the world, the devil, and your old sinful nature, and they're coming after you, and they do you a great deal of harm.
And just as the Lord shepherds his saints in this world, so he continues to be their shepherd eternally here.
Yeah.
He shepherds them. He will guide them to springs of living water. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Once again, the saints before the Lord in his presence night and day, and blessed to be released from all of these attacks of the three great enemies, as you mentioned.
Yeah, do we have a few more minutes yet?
Sure.
You know, there's a great hymn in the Lutheran service book. It's hymn 676, Behold a Host Arrayed in White, which, is based on this text. It's a great hymn. You know, the first verse says, Behold a host arrayed in white, like thousand snow-clad mountains bright. With palms they stand. Who is this band before the throne of light? These are the saints of glorious fame, who from the great affliction came, and in the flood of Jesus' blood are cleansed from guilt and shame. They now serve God both day and night. They sing their songs in endless light. Their anthems ring as they all sing with angels shining bright. I love this hymn. We sing it every All Saints Sunday or All Saints Day. And there are sometimes this hymn just, it hits me like a ton of bricks. And the tears start flowing from my eyes. Because this hymn confesses the truth from Revelation of where our loved ones are, where they are. They're with Christ.
Brent, sometimes we will also sing this particular hymn for communion distribution, which I think is an apropos time, because therefore with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify, okay?
Yeah.
And that's what we have here. We have a depiction of the saints in heaven lauding and magnifying the Lord. Salvation belongs to our God, to the Lamb who sits upon the throne.
Yeah.
And here, salvation on earth, it belongs to you too.
Yeah.
As the Lord shepherds his saints and feeds them, and as the hymn says, floods them with his blood, his cleansing blood.
I love that language. That's really good. And that's the way the gospel's like a flood. That's really good.
So you have this all-encompassing, as we began this part here, this great multitude from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. In other words, folks, Christ says, when I'm lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. And so the Lord Jesus Christ has been lifted up for you. He draws you to himself through the cleansing waters of holy baptism. There his blood floods you, purifying you from all sin, clothing you in white robes, so that you might confess on earth and in heaven that salvation belongs to our God.